A reading from St. John, the 11th chapter. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, following her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me. But I say this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The man who died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." This is the word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord, he whom you love is ill. That's the message the sisters had sent to Jesus. That's all they thought they needed to say. It tells us two things about their faith in him. First, he can handle sickness. Sickness is no problem to him. And second, cares and he wants to help. That's their faith. And so they sit at home, anxiously watching their brother sink deeper and deeper. You can see Mary sitting at the window watching. Martha muttering and murmuring to herself, and then joining Mary at the window for a few minutes. They listen for the sound of his voice, for the tread of his foot on the path, and there is only silence. And Lazarus grows weaker. Hang on, Lazarus. Hang on. You've sent for Jesus. Please hang on. But as the light grows weaker in the west and nature quiets down, the light of life in their brother's eyes began to flicker and to fade. And finally, his last breath, like a puff of air on a weak flame, blew it out. His body suddenly still before the two sisters. The quiet was devastating. Tears streaming down their faces. Jesus hadn't come. And they just couldn't understand. At a time of grief, friends are invaluable. They gather round and cry together. They tell stories about the deceased. They remember together. But for the nearest and dearest, grief sits in their soul like a huge, empty hollow. The sounds of the friend's comfort is like strangely distorted echoes coming from a place far away. The sisters are isolated in their grief, for grief is something in the end that each person has to face alone. And the huge problem of their grief is Jesus. The only one who could have done something and who hadn't bothered to come. And they had called. Why? Lazarus is placed in the tomb. The sisters weep as the darkness hides their brother's eyes, his body from their eyes. And this hollow inside aches so bad, they're not sure that they can bear it, if they can even go on. But hideously, they don't have a choice. They must go on. Their friends stay close by and haunt the house, doing for them the things they can't seem to organize or do for themselves, reminding them to eat the food they don't feel like eating. And through it all, there is an expectant waiting. There is an accounting to be given. And there is still hope. Hope does not die easily. Day slips into day, and at last the rumor reaches the house that Jesus is on his way. Martha. Are you surprised it was Martha? Martha was not one to sit still. Martha bundled up her grief and her fear, her anger and her hope, and she marched out of the house and straight up to Jesus, shaking. There was no shalom, no greeting. She just looks at him and says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." But seeing him, the hope wells up. Even now, I know God will give you whatever you ask of him. Your brother will rise again. Martha's hope sinks. Yeah, the resurrection at the last day, sure. They all knew and believed that, sort of. Last day is so terribly far away. She desperately wanted her brother back now. The last day was not as far away as she supposed. To her response, "Yeah, I know he'll rise again at the last day," Jesus responds, "Martha,
I am the resurrection and the life. Martha, I am the last bed. And I'm standing right here in front of you. He who believes in me, even if he dies, yet shall he live. And anyone who lives and believes in me is never going to die. Do you believe it? She says, yes. I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God who has come into the world. What answer do you give him? Martha, with hope rekindled, runs back to the house to get her sister. Mary, she whispers, Mary is calling for you. Mary, with a suddenness that startles the mourners, gets up and hightails it out of the house, running straight to Jesus. They all tag along behind her just to make sure she's going to be okay. And when she reaches him, she plants her face in the dust at his feet. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. You watch Jesus now. Watch what goes on with him. He's having trouble breathing. His gut is churning, and he is angry. Not at Mary, not at Martha, not at you. He loves them as he loves you, as he loves Lazarus. But he is torn up by what he sees death does to us. He hates it. He hates it with a holy passion. He's come to destroy it forever. Where have you laid him? And as he approaches the tomb, do you see it? Streaming down from his eyes. The shortest verse in all the Bible, and the most precious. Jesus wept. He cries as he stares at the stone that hides the rotting corpse of the friend that he loves. Despite the smell, he orders the tomb open. Martha gives her consent. You know that stench. You smelt it. There's nothing like rotting flesh. You can see them covering their mouths and backing away, but not him. He stands there in front of that dark hole, and he prays. Father, thank you. You've heard me. I know you always hear me, but I'm saying this for them so that they can believe it, that you sent me to deal with this. In the sudden silence, with every ear straining, Jesus cries out, Lazarus, come out. The rustle inside the tomb. It's not easy to get up when you're wrapped in linen and got a covering over your face. But he stumbles out, no zombie, alive. Unloose him. Let him go free. The last sign, the last miracle that Jesus performs in this gospel, but one. It sets in motion everything that follows. A healer, he is trouble. But what are you supposed to do with somebody who goes around raising four-day-old dead people in the suburbs of Jerusalem itself? I think we need to get rid of him. Oh, and by the way, why don't we get rid of Lazarus too?
Lazarus, he was then an odd creature. You ever thought about it? He was dead, and now he's alive again. But he knows he's going to die again. How do you think he met death when it would come for him the second time? I don't know about you, but I suspect he would meet it with laughter. He knew there was a voice stronger than death. And it didn't scare him at all anymore. He knew that when that voice sounded and the spirit blew, though his body were reduced to scattered dry bones, he would live again. Death was not stronger than the one whose voice called him, who is the resurrection and the life. Death would try its best on him, but it already tasted its defeat by the sheer power of his words. You are all Lazarus, aren't you? That's the confidence your baptism gives you. You already got death in the rearview mirror. You've been raised again. You know death's coming again, but it's okay, because you've heard the voice of him who is stronger than death, who will raise you to life eternal with him. And so when death comes at you, snarling and snapping at your heels, you can look at it and say, "Oh, hush up. I've met your master." And you know, when he calls, you can't hold. Not me. Not Lazarus. Not any of us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.